Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Revelation, and we'll be continuing today with part one of a study entitled Israel and Satan. So let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. So John is describing to us these visions. He's seeing both the spiritual world and the material world, and he's seeing how they are connected to one another. He's seen things that are happening in the heavenly realm and how that is translating to different types of experiences here on the earth. And so now he sees this vision, this sign, he says, in heaven of a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a garland of 12 stars on her head. So the question is, what is this imagery about? Now, the wonderful thing about Bible prophecy is that it, in a sense, is self-interpreted. Because what we find is that God gives us the answer to so many of these prophetic mysteries. He gives us the answer in other places in the scripture. And when we look for an interpretation of just who this woman is, we find that the scriptures have already given us this picture in another place. And as we understand the previous references to these things, we actually come to understand what the meaning of the prophecy is. Now, to understand who this woman is, we have to go back to Genesis. And in the 37th chapter of Genesis, we have the record of the life and the times of Joseph. And Joseph, as some of you remember, Joseph was the favored son of Jacob. He was the 11th son of Jacob. And he was the well-beloved son of Jacob because he was the son of Jacob's sweetheart, Rachel. Joseph also had been having a series of dreams. And he dreamed about the sun, the moon, and 11 stars. Now, when he told his father Jacob about this peculiar dream, he said, I had a dream that the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. And Jacob responded and said this, shall your mother and I and your brothers bow down to you? And so Jacob interpreted the dream for Joseph. Jacob realized that that imagery was a reference to himself and to his sons. So when we look at Genesis chapter 37, and we see that same imagery, and now we come to Revelation chapter 12, and we find this woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. The mystery is solved by going back to what Jacob said to Joseph. This is a reference to Israel. Now, there have been those who have come up with other interpretations. The Roman Catholic Church has interpreted this to be a reference to the Virgin Mary. And if you maybe had a background in Catholicism, perhaps you remember, as I do, having seen this very image, a woman clothed with the sun standing on the moon and that garland. But there are a number of reasons why that interpretation is incorrect, and we'll get to that in a moment. But others have suggested that, no, it's not Mary that's being referred to here. It's the church, actually, that's being spoken of. But there's a good reason why that cannot be the answer either. Israel is clearly who is being referred to here. Notice, then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. So this is a woman who is ready to give birth. But now there's another sign that appears in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. So John sees this, these signs in heaven, this woman, and now this great dragon, and the woman is ready to give birth, and the dragon is there ready to devour the child as soon as the child comes forth. But then we read, she bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to the throne of God. So this, of course, is a reference to Jesus. The second psalm, as we referred to in a previous study, declares that the Messiah will rule the nations with a rod of iron. There are many passages that state that. And this is clearly a reference to Jesus, a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. But notice verse 6. Verse 6 says, then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So you see, this sixth verse really tells us that it couldn't be Mary herself that's being referred to, because nothing like this occurred in Mary's life. And although, of course, Mary was the personal instrument through which the Messiah came into the world, Mary was part of that collective group known as Israel, the nation of Israel. And so rather than looking at Mary individually or personally, specifically, this is a picture of Israel nationally. Because Jesus came forth from Israel. He came forth from the Jewish nation. He was an Israelite. He was a Jew. Now, notice what it says. It says that the dragon was ready to devour the child as soon as it was born. Remember when the wise men came looking for the birthplace of the King of the Jews? Remember when they came to Herod, inquiring about where this king of the Jews was to be born. And remember, the priest there at the time informed them that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. And Herod, who was basically very paranoid, kind of a dictator, the moment he heard that, he determined that he would have to destroy this one who was to be born the king of the Jews. So he informs these wise men to come back and let him know, after they visited the child, come back and let him know where the child is so he could go and worship as well. But really, his intentions were murderous, as we know. They, of course, went and visited the child Jesus. And rather than going back to Herod, they were warned by an angel not to go. They went home another way. And then Herod sent out his soldiers, you remember, to Bethlehem and to the surrounding districts to destroy all of the male children 2 years old and younger. And we see right from the very beginning of the life of Jesus, even in his infancy, Satan was attempting to destroy him. But I don't think that this reference here to the dragon seeking to devour the child is merely a reference to that incident with Herod. I think that this is something that was the case all throughout the life of Jesus, culminating in the crucifixion, because we know that although God was sovereignly behind the crucifixion, we know that Satan was directly responsible, because he was the one who put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. He was the one who deceived the minds of the chief priest that they would condemn Jesus. He was the one who was manipulating the powers that be behind the scenes. And so all of this is a picture of the dragon's attempt to destroy the Messiah. But it says that her child, speaking of Jesus, was caught up to God and his throne. And so Satan failed. He did not succeed. He thought he succeeded with the cross. But Jesus, of course, rose from the dead and then ascended up to heaven. And now, as often is the case with prophecy, although it isn't apparent in the text, there is a gap of time between what's stated in verse 5 and what's stated in verse 6. And that time gap began at the ascension of Christ, and we are still in that time gap presently, because verse 6 takes us out to the future tribulation period that is going to come upon the earth, when the woman who is Israel has to flee into the wilderness. You see, once again, this has not yet happened in history. This is going to happen in the future. And so in the future, Israel is going to flee into the wilderness to a place that God has prepared. Now, this, I believe, is going to happen when the Antichrist shows his true colors, and many of those in the nation of Israel, many of those have their eyes open to see that they have been deceived. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace and supplication is poured out upon them, like Zechariah chapter 12 says. They will look upon me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. And it's this remnant, this believing remnant that's being referred to here as the woman. I don't believe that it's all Israel in the sense of that it's every Jew, because many of them will remain faithful to the Antichrist. Many of them will continue to worship this false Messiah. But there's this holy remnant who now will turn from this deception, and they will turn and put their faith in the true Messiah. And as a result of this, they will then have to flee. Remember Jesus in Matthew 24, he said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in the city flee. And I think that's what we're reading about here. It's just another way of describing that same thing. And the woman is going to flee Israel, this remnant, believing Israel is going to flee to this place that God has prepared, and they will be there for 1,260 days. Once again, we have that 3.5-year period that's being described. Now, just where in the wilderness this remnant is going to flee to, nobody knows for sure, but there is an interesting prophecy in Isaiah chapter 16 that some people believe is a reference to this, and they see the city of Petra as the place of refuge for this remnant of Jews at the time. Now, Petra is a city that's carved literally out of stone. It's carved in the side of a mountain, and that's the rock city of Petra. And that is the place, based upon the Isaiah 16 passage, that is the place that some people believe this remnant of Israel will flee to during that time. And it very well could be the case. We don't know for sure. But God has prepared a place in the wilderness for this remnant, and they are going to be protected from the wrath of the dragon when they embrace Jesus as their Messiah. Verse 7 now takes us again back from the earthly situation back to the heavenly. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now, Michael, this is very similar to what we read in the 12th chapter of Daniel. There we read about Michael standing up for the Jewish people in defense of them, that great prince that stands for your people. Michael seems to have the role of being the protector of Israel in Scripture. And he's definitely the archangel, and he's the angel who is constantly, when we find references to him, we find him in the context of battle. So evidently, he is the one who leads the angelic forces against Satan and his minions. And so here we have this war in heaven, and it's Michael and his angels fighting with the dragon and his angels. But the dragon did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, at some time in the past, and I personally think it was before the creation of the material universe, this angelic being, who apparently held the highest place in heaven, according to some of the things that we read in Ezekiel 28, he was the anointed cherub that covered. He was perfect in beauty. He was the sum of wisdom. He seems to have been the apex of all of creation up until that point, until the day that iniquity was found in him. And because he desired, as we read in Isaiah 14, to elevate himself above the throne of God, he was cast out. But even though he was cast down from his position, he still has had access to heaven, heaven in the sense of God's presence. He has still had access into God's presence for all of these ages. And we read in various places in the scripture. Job is a very clear example where the sons of God are appearing before the Lord and Satan comes with them. The sons of God is a reference to angels. They are appearing before the Lord and Satan comes with them and God says, "Where have you been? What have you been doing?" He said, "Oh, I've been going to and fro and up and down in the earth." God says, "Have you considered my servant Job, an upright man?" And Satan then begins to challenge the righteousness of Job. And, you know, there's this thing that's happening there between God and Satan. But the point is, we see that Satan is there having access to the presence of God. In the third chapter of Zechariah, we have a similar kind of a picture where Joshua, the high priest, is standing there before the Lord and he's clothed in filthy garments, speaking of the sin of the Jewish priesthood. And at his side, Satan is there pointing the finger of condemnation. And even to this very day, Satan still has access to that place of God's presence. But what we're reading about here is a point in time when that is forever changed. It hasn't happened yet, but it will happen in the future where Satan will be cast out of heaven permanently to no longer ever have any kind of presence there. And he and his angels will be cast to the earth. But notice verse 9 what it says about him. Now, we refer to this being as Satan, and rightfully so. Of course, we're following the scripture on that. But Satan means adversary. That's the actual meaning of the word. We refer to him as the devil. The word devil means slanderer. So his names indicate his activity. He is the adversary of God. He is the adversary of God's people. And he is a slanderer. He accuses God's servants. He's a liar and he's a murderer. Jesus told us that about him. It's recorded in the 8th chapter of John's gospel. So he is going to be cast out of heaven. And then we read in verse 10, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." So there's going to be great rejoicing, this loud voice in heaven proclaiming this event, the casting out of the devil. But he's going to be cast down to the earth. And he's going to persecute God's people intensely when he is cast down to the earth. And that's what these next two verses are speaking about. Notice he's referred to as the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night. He has been cast down. And it says, and they, those upon the earth, those believers, and I think particularly those, that remnant of Israel, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of Revelation in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part two of a study entitled Israel and Satan. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Israel and Satan. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3282. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.